Welcome to XP Ministries. This recording is under copyright laws and cannot be replicated. This file is licensed for one user only and cannot be duplicated without written permission. We pray that this recording will bless and empower you.
If you wanted to turn in your notes to lesson 14, we're going to study an actual lesson called The Glory. So after... After 14 other lessons previously on it, but now we'll go to the official one. But I wanted to feature a resource item that I think would be helpful to you. It's called Riches in Glory. And it's a very, very powerful CD set on the glory, on supernatural provision, on the subject of faith, and on God's treasures. It's not, you know, just... material provision, but all kinds of things that can be downloaded from the unseen realm into the natural realm. And so this set will really enhance that teaching and would be a great aid for you. But we've got a marathon to run this afternoon, and we're going to do lesson 14 right now. And talking about what exactly is the glory? Does anyone know yet what the glory is? Well, the glory is all about the fullness of who God is and what he has. When you look up the glory in both the Hebrew and the Greek, it talks about his splendor. It talks about all that pertains to God. It talks about his copiousness, his abundance, his radiance, his light, his provision, all of his possessions. It's the fullness of who he is and what he has. So anything that has to do with a revelation, a manifestation of who he is and what he has is a dimension of the glory. And we're going to look through different scriptures today and look at the different kinds of manifestations of the glory, some of them. But the glory is wonderful. And one of the meanings for glory in the Hebrew is weight. And how many of you have felt like the weight of his presence? It literally... It feels like the air is getting heavier around you. It's the weight of peace or the weight of love. Well, that's what glory actually means. It's the weight. And in some places in the Old Testament, the weight got so heavy they couldn't stand. And in the New Testament also. So we're going to look at that. The glory of God manifests in many different ways. And the first one we have for you in your notes is the cloud of glory. And sometimes there's a cloud or a misty presence of the glory that can fall in a meeting or over a life. How many of you have actually seen the glory mist or the glory cloud? Oh, a number of you, a lot more than normal. The glory cloud was seen in the Old Testament, especially as Israel was going through the wilderness. In fact, there was a pillar of cloud by day that they were led by. They were actually led through the wilderness by the glory. And if you ever step into a wilderness area, the pillar of cloud will lead you through too. But they have the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, and both of those things are manifestations of the glory of God. So when the glory's there, you're not really in a wilderness at all, right? If you're in the glory cloud, the cloud of his glory, you'll never taste a wilderness. Okay, then we have the fire of glory. We talked about the fire in a previous message. And again, Israel was led by a pillar of fire by night. Israel, if they were led by the Lord during the daytime or at night, either way, they could see because the glory led them. So they were led by the fire at night. And we talked in a previous lesson about the baptism with fire and the glory of his presence being manifest in that way. And then we've got heavenly glory, the glory of the heavenlies, when the heavenlies get revealed to you. And do you see this light moving around on this over here? There's a light out of my peripheral vision. It's moving. It's like there's some kind of angelic being that's moving around here. Can anyone else see that? It's a bright orangey yellow light. Anyone else see that? Put up your hand if you do. No? Oh, okay. I can see. Oh, one or two of you over there. I can see it. It's just moving around. It's like dancing around me. And it's very, very visible with my open eye vision. So, hello there. Thank you, Lord. But anyways, heavenly glory is when you get a taste of, a glimpse of the glory, the abundance, the beauty, the splendor of the heavenly places. And some of you have experienced, as we went into third heaven encounter and you saw different things manifest to you, that is heavenly glory, the open heaven. We'll be talking about that in a bit, because you can live under an open heaven. Then there's angelic glory. When angels are in the room, they carry the glory of God, but you can tell the difference between an angel and the presence of God. Oh my gosh, I just...
He likes your outfit.
There was just a lion that came in, an orange and goldy colored lion. I don't often get such vivid, I can sense and I can see. So this is never happened before, actually, in a glory school. Whoa. Lord, whatever you're sending that angel in for, we just say yes. Wow. So angels carry a dimension of glory because they've been in the presence of God. So they carry, but you can discern the difference between an angelic presence, whoa, and the presence of God. Like, even though the angels carry the presence of God, you can discern the difference between the angel or the presence of Jesus coming into a room. You might say, well, how do you do that? Well, it's through that gift of the discerning of spirits. Someone mentioned to me during the break that they would like me to share a little bit about the gift of discernment, how sometimes people discern, you know, something dark on a person or whatever, but it's really just woundedness within. And I wasn't really going to talk about that, because it's not really, like, when we're talking about the glory, it's almost like stuff like that doesn't really fit in the subject. But I'll say this, is like, when you're in the glory, you just look for the best in people. You just look for the beauty. You look for the Christ in people. And, you know, it's true. Sometimes we have woundedness. I mean, we all have had in some area of our life, and some of us still do, because our healings are progressive. But when you're in the glory, you can just always look for the goodness of God. And then when you see areas of woundedness in a person, it's not with a despising sense or, ooh, stay away from me, you've got, you know, darkness on you. It's like, what can I do to help bring light and life into you? And what can I do to see you set free? Let me put some of the glory that God's revealed to me upon you, so that you can enjoy the beauty of his presence. So when angels are in a room, there's a certain glory that they carry and manifest. There's appearances of light and brilliance. Like, sometimes you'll even see a person that has the glory manifest on them, and they're brilliant. They shine, their eyes shine, their skin shines. It's just like, you know, like, you know, there's something special going on, because the glory is all over them. And also lights, sometimes lights, like right now, like... a variety of different lights can manifest. You know, I see blue and purple a lot, and sometimes green. I've never actually seen orange like I'm seeing it now, and like that lion, goldy lion color, but it can appear, the appearance of light and brilliance. In the Bible, we see times where the light of the glory of the Lord would come and illumine, you know, brightly, and that happens today too. His felt presence. Oftentimes you'll have his felt presence, like when you're in worship and you can just feel his soft presence just envelop you. We talked about that earlier as far as being weight. His voice. When he speaks, sometimes he speaks audibly. Sometimes he speaks in the still small voice, sometimes in the inner voice, but that is a manifestation of his glory. His blessings. Every time his blessings are made manifest in your life, that is a demonstration or a manifestation of his glory. And all the blessings of God, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And when they're manifest in your life, we need to always be thankful to him for it, because, you know, sometimes we just get the glory or get a blessing and then we don't even thank him. We're not appreciative within our hearts, and he wants us to appreciate him, because he wants to give us more, and thanksgiving opens up more. His blessings and his goodness. Every blessing that he pours out, every bit of goodness that he manifests is a demonstration of his glory. Signs and wonders, and my gosh, we are in this huge season of signs and wonders right now. We have been for a few years, and that's why we're seeing all sorts of different manifestations of the glory, like with the gemstones and the feathers and the glitter. And those of you that were at Michael Reynolds' meeting last night, you probably saw the glitter. It just comes out of the pores through his head and everything, and it just manifests like that. Well, that's a sign and a wonder. How many of you have ever seen Stacey Campbell prophesy? You know, she's a sign and a wonder. And yeah, there's all different kinds of signs and wonders. We're having Kate Byers is going to be coming to one of our conferences, and she's had the manifestation almost in every meeting of the manna falling from heaven, water turning to wine, and things like that. Actually, we've had real heavenly communion because Kay Byers gave us a baggie full of the heavenly manna, and then we had water that was turned to wine, and so it's like real heavenly manna. And we got the oil from heaven, pouring out of Bibles and that. You know, I mean, it's getting pretty heavenly around here, isn't it? Oh, thank you, Father. We thank you, and we want more. We love all that stuff. We love it all. If it's of him, we want it. Okay, and we know the Father, when we're in relationship with the Father, he is the Father of glory. Jesus is the King of glory. The Spirit is the Spirit of glory. God has always wanted us to partake of his glory. In fact, when he created us, he created us in the atmosphere of his glory. Before he ever created man, he said, "Let there be light." So everything that came into existence in the earth before the fall, it was all inside of his glory presence. He created that glory environment before he set us in it. And then when he created us, as we studied earlier, he took up of the dust, which I believe is glory particles. You know, it wasn't dirt as we know it. He took up this beautiful dust of glory, and he formed and fashioned us. And then he blew his glorious breath into us, and we became a glorious soul. And so we are made for the glory. God's heart is that we would always know the glory and the bounty of the Lord, his supernatural dimensions, his heavenly dimensions. We were made for it. That's why we long for it. Some of you really long for more of his glory, and you just, you know, weep before him and said, "Lord, I love you, but I just want more of you." And it's because you were created for that. And the more you ask, the more he'll give. Because that's who he is. It just makes room for more of him inside of you when you ask. So you were made for that. And we also have talked about in a previous lesson about the tabernacle in the wilderness and how God created the Holy of Holies first and then the holy place and then the outer court so he could fill that innermost place with his manifest glory. And you know, that was after man had sinned, and he made a way for Israel to know his glory. Even though Israel had sinned, all mankind had sinned, and we had fallen short of the glory of God. That's what happens when you sin. You fall short of the glory of God. And even though that had happened, he wanted man to have the glory so much, to partake of the glory, that he made a way through the tabernacle in the wilderness, which was a picture of the Christ to come, for that glory to be released to them so that they could have the benefits of his glorious presence. And then in Solomon's temple, as soon as they dedicated the temple, he came in the glory, in the manifestation of the glory, so much so that they couldn't stand to minister. The priests couldn't stand to minister because the glory was so heavy that the glory just fell on everything and everyone fell under the weight of that. But all of Solomon's temple, the way it was built, all the symbolism in it is all about the glory of God. It was all overlaid with gold, which is a sign of the glory. And it had the wood behind it, which is a type of the cross, and then the glory that covered it. It also is a lot about Jesus. In Haggai 2, 1 to 9, it talks about the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. Wow. That means it just keeps getting better. Now, when I look at the glory that was manifest in the Old Testament, if you look at all the manifestations of the glory all the way through the Old Testament, and you see it, you know, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and you see it in Solomon's temple, and you see the different individuals that got to taste of the glory, like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and all these different ones, there's nothing in the Old Testament that tops what we are going to experience in the latter days. Even when Jesus came and walked in the earth and then released his spirit, we see the glory of the Holy Spirit filling the whole house, filling every believer, and seeing the body of believers going out with miracles, signs, wonders to fill the earth with the gospel. That is still less than what we're going to see in these latter days. The latter glory of the house is going to be greater than anything of the former. And that's what we're entering into right now. God's still prophesying in a way, isn't he? He's just showing us what he's about to do, and we're starting to see dribbles of it, partaking of bits of it, but the fullness is about to come. Thank you, Lord. In Peter, it talks also about the glory. And the last days, it says in Habakkuk 2:14 that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to literally cover the earth. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, how do the waters cover the sea? 100%. That's what makes a sea a sea, is that it's filled with water. Completely full of water. Do you know a sea in the earth that is empty? They're all full, aren't they? The seas are full of water, and they come up against the shore. And God said, that's how the glory is going to manifest in the last days. The knowledge of the glory is going to cover the whole earth like water covers the sea. That means deep and full and complete. Wow. And you and I get to release the knowledge of the glory. You're going to get to a place as you continue to walk in the knowledge of the glory that you have, that everywhere you go, you're going to emanate glory. You'll walk into rooms, this is probably already happening, walk into a store and people take note, whoa, light just walked in. They don't really understand that, but they know there's something special about you. They might not be able to discern what it is, but they know. Imagine what it's going to be like when we go down dark alleys as a church, and we just release the glory. And we watch everyone who's bound fall into freedom because the glory hit the alley. Going into the darkest places of society and walking through, going into a drug house or a brothel or something, you just walk in and the glory hits. We've seen measures of this. We were in Amsterdam a couple of years ago, and we were leading a team down into the red light district in Amsterdam. The prostitution in that area is legal. They have houses, and the girls stand in front of the windows and entice men in. And then there's rooms in there that they do their business with the men. And there's some free drug stuff going on there as well. But we took a team in there, and the Lord led us to actually go right inside of a brothel. And so we asked if we could come in. It was highly unusual for them to let us go in and take up the time of their girls. But we went right inside one of the rooms where one of the girls in the sex trade worked. It was her little room, and all the paraphernalia was there and everything. And we went in there, and you could feel the Spirit of the Lord come in the room with us. This was in a very dark place. A very dark place, and it's called the red light district, and inside that little room was a red light, a literal red light in the room. And I thought, I'm claiming this red light as the light of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thought, the blood just walked in here. And light expels darkness, and we just began to prophesy over this girl and love her. And we had an interpreter there, and we prophesied and shared the gospel with her. And I had a word for her, and it was regarding how God was going to take her out, just like he took out Abraham. And he visited Abraham and called Abraham to follow him. And even though Abraham didn't know what was going to happen or where he was going to go, he took courage and followed him out of the land of the Chaldeans and went and followed God, even though he didn't know where he was going. I said, we're here today because God sent us to rescue you. And you are being called on to follow God right out of this place. And she said, on my way to work today, I thought, how can I get out of this? How can I get out of this? And I said, not only are you going to leave this, but God's going to provide for you. He is going to look after you, and he's going to keep you safe. And she said, I was worried about those things. And we led her to the Lord right inside that little room of prostitution. Right inside the room, we led her to the Lord. And let me tell you, that room was not filled with an evil presence. It was filled with the glory of God because we took the glory in with us. Even though there had been so much evil done in that room, the glory filled it because we carry the glory. Amen? And she got beautifully born again, and we were working with a local church in the area, so they were able to do follow-up on her and everything and help her out. Isn't that wonderful? Well, can you imagine what it's going to be like on Mass when we just go into the darkest places and spread the light and the life, where we go into satanic ritual meetings and just walk in and everything stops because the glory is so powerful that they can no longer continue doing what they're doing. Katie going into prisons, and the moment you just walk in, the glory floods every cell. Amen. This is normal Christianity. Right? It's normal Christianity. Wow. Oh, it's wonderful. I remember my husband and I and children, we were living in the inner city of Honolulu years ago, and we were working with a team down there to spread the gospel. And so we were living in one room. Our family had one room in a complex that had prostitutes, drug addicts, pimps, everything, and we all shared the same bathroom on the floor and everything like that. It was quite the place. But Ron and I started up a play school type thing where we took the children in because they were being left in the rooms while the mothers were out prostituting and stuff like that. So we took the children in and kept them for the whole day free of charge and just ministered to them and bless them. The children got so filled with the glory that they made an impact on the parents. And one day, one of the little boys who was 4 years of age, 4 years old, and he walked into a church. And we hadn't told him to go to a church or anything. There's a church right across from where we were. He walked out of the building when his mother wasn't with him and got out of the building all by himself and walked over to the church. The mother went to find him, saw him in the church, and he was sitting there all by himself. She came beside him and he said, shh, God is here. She sat down there and got so captured by the presence and the glory of God, she couldn't talk. They left there. She came down to our room and crying, and she said, what's happened? He was not like the easiest little child to look after. He was actually in our class, he was quite hyper and running all over the place, and we didn't even think he was listening to much. But he preached the gospel. Everything he'd heard us share, he ended up preaching to his mother, and she came to us crying and said, what should I do? And we were able to lead her to the Lord. That's because her little boy was so filled with the glory. When he sat in that church, and it wasn't even a full gospel type of church, it was a very religious building, but when he walked in with the glory, filled it, and his mother felt it as she went in. Oh, I tell you, church, we're going to change the world around us. Amen. Okay, when you look back to Genesis and look at where we are now, we are called to live in that. When God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross, it was so that we could be restored to our rightful place of glory. So we're not like just sinners saved by grace. You know, sometimes we get this mentality like, oh, we're just kind of getting through the doorway, you know, just squeezing through because the blood dripped on us or something. But no, when Jesus finished that work on the cross, it was so that we could be restored to that place of original glory and dominion and authority. And that's what we have right now. And that's what God wants us to walk in. He wants us to live in that. He wants us to move forward in that. Praise the Lord. And to behold the glory of Jesus Christ. He wants us to behold his glory that he has given unto us. Now, I want to talk for a few moments about the glory and the open heaven. And I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. Now, the first 13 verses of this chapter are blessing verses. It says, if you will diligently obey the Lord to do all of his commandments, to keep his word and all that, then all these blessings are going to come upon you and overtake you. I don't know about you, but I love living in the blessing zone. And each and every one of you can live in the blessing zone. That's what you're called to. That's what Jesus has given to you. You don't have to accept anything in your life that is not a blessing. When things come my way and it doesn't look like it's a blessing, I rise up on the inside and I say, you'll be sorry you ever tried, because you are going to flip into a blessing. Even though you don't look like a blessing right now, you will turn into a blessing. Everything's going to flip around and you will become my blessing. And even some of my greatest problems that looked like a curse turned around to be a blessing, because they became stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. But you have to take the dominion and make them turn. So you don't have to accept anything. When you're in Christ, you don't have to accept anything that's not a heavenly blessing. You're called to be blessed. Blessings come upon you and overtake you. The problem is we've been conditioned to accepting all the curses. Oh no, I got a pain. Oh no, I'm sick again. Oh no, I'm feeling this. Oh no, my bills aren't paid. Oh no, not another trial. Oh no, not this. And we suck them all in. Yeah. They come knocking on the door and say, okay, there's another one. I got that one. Instead of saying, you'll be sorry you ever tried, you're going to turn into a blessing. See, you have to determine it. You determine yourself through your faith and through your choices if you receive good or evil. You can have everyone that's a child of God can live in the blessing zone. Every single person, you're all called to it. But not everyone does, because they allow the evil to come upon them and overtake them. It says in verse 1, just turn back to verse 1 of Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, say all. Which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Now, in order to get all these blessings coming upon you, you need to obey all the commandments. The thing is, there's not one person alive that has obeyed all the commandments except Jesus. But he did. He obeyed all the commandments for you. And on the basis of what he has done, you can claim the blessings, because he fulfilled everything that was needed for you to be blessed. Oh, come on, church. This is great. This is great news. So all these blessings, you're blessed when you come in, you're blessed when you go out, you're blessed as the head and not the tail, you're above and not beneath, you prosper in everything you put your hands to do, all your enemies flee from you. If they come against you one way, they'll flee seven ways. Oh my, this is good stuff. All your children, your livestock, everything are called into this blessing, and it's all yours if you will put that blessing perimeter around your life and say, I'm only going to receive this. This is my portion, because I'm in Christ. He obeyed all the commandments. I'm in him. He did everything for me. And I'm only allowing blessings to come upon me and overtake me. That's it. Now, one of these blessings that shall come upon you and overtake you is found in verse 12. And it says, the Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens. Everyone say the heavens. His good storehouse. His good storehouse. The heavens. He will open the heavens over you. This is a blessing that will come upon you and overtake you. The open heaven of the storehouses of heaven pouring out blessings upon you that you can't contain. Woo! Wowie! This is your portion. This is part of being a glory kid. You're called to live under the open heaven. The problem is most of our expectation is negative. Oh no, you know, I'm just going to get through this and then this is probably going to happen. And oh no, what am I going to do? How am I going to eat this month because I've got no money? You don't need money to buy food. When you're in the kingdom, you actually don't. If you need food, ask for food. You'll get food. Ron and I, when we stepped into full-time ministry, we were pressured for 5 years with every demon of poverty and lack that is in the whole universe, I'm sure. I went to stand on the word, and there were days when we literally didn't have any food in the house. Literally. I'm not talking about having food that you didn't like. I'm talking about no food. Anything would look good. No food. And we just told the children, we're going to sit down and have a faith meal. Let's give thanks to God for our food. And there was no food. But we served water and we had our plates set. And sometimes there was food that actually arrived right as we're there praying. Other times it was maybe an hour or so later. It would just arrive. It would just show up at the doorstep or something. Like people would phone and say, oh, by the way, we're going out for dinner tonight and we're wondering if we could take you and the kids along with us. As we're sitting there praying, waiting for God to show up. You never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. I love him. He's so good. He's so good. But he wants to open the heavens over you and pour out blessings that you can't contain. And it doesn't matter what your background's been. It doesn't matter what kind of family you grew up in. It doesn't matter what kind of education you have or don't have. It doesn't matter what kind of breaks you've had in the past. You are called to blessing. And when you get into that faith mode and start believing what God has for you, you can live under the open heaven all the days of your life. It is God's heart for you. The open heaven. You know, Jesus, when he came out of the waters of baptism, the heavens opened. What that was is Jesus took the waters of baptism not because he needed it. He never sinned, so he obviously didn't need to get baptized. There was nothing to get baptized for. That was for the remission of sins. He never sinned, so he didn't need to get baptized for that. But he said, do it so that all righteousness will be fulfilled. He did that for you. You understand that? He repented of all sin for you. He's already repented for your sins. He already did it. And so when he came up out of the waters, the heavens opened, because the heavens open when they're purged. You see, demonic spirits get entry points in our lives when we sin. That's what gives them the legal right. They have none otherwise. But when that's all cleared, then it opens the heaven. So Jesus opened the heavens for us 2,000 years ago. You don't have to even hope for them to be open. He already opened them. And when Jesus opened the heavens and the Spirit descended upon him as a dove and the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. After that point, Jesus, everywhere he went, he was under that open heaven. It didn't even matter. I mean, it wasn't like he didn't have enemies. He had enemies, but they couldn't prosper because he was living under the open heaven. They tried to get him many times, said, it's not my time yet. You're not going to get me because I'm living under the open heaven zone. And everywhere he went, he was blessed and was a blessing. No matter, even in the face of persecution, it always worked into a blessing for him. And it wasn't until he chose to lay his life down that he entered the finished work of the cross, which for him and for you and I was also a big blessing, even though the enemy didn't know it. He didn't understand the plan at the time. If he had, he wouldn't have crucified the Son of Glory, because he played right into the hand of blessing. So you are called to live under the open heaven. The glory is to be poured down upon you. And in that place of glory, in that place of open heaven, God will speak to you. Do you know God speaks from the glory? When you're in the glory, you can hear the Lord's voice speak to you. That's why I've seen some of your journals since you've been in this class, and they're full of things and little pictures and things that God's shown you, because it's a fertile environment. When you're in the glory, God speaks to you. The scripture comes alive and everything like that. It's just an open field for the Lord to speak. We see that in the lives of Moses, you know, in the Old Testament, that when Moses was in the glory, God gave him the Ten Commandments. You know, when Moses stepped into the tent of meeting, the pillar of cloud came down and God would speak to him face to face as a man speaks to a friend. We see with Peter, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he tried to get into his flesh, the glory came upon him. He went down under his face and then he heard the voice of God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The glory, when we're under the open heaven, we have protection, because that heavenly glory protects us. The blessings protect us. The glory wins battles for us. Do you know that the King of Glory, who is the King of Glory? It's Jesus, but it's the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the captain of the hosts of heaven. That is the King of Glory. And so when you're in the glory, when you're living under the open heaven, it's not that you won't have battles. You'll get battles, but you win them all. Battles, never despise a good battle. They give you really good victories. If you have a small battle, well, you'll just get a small victory. When you get big battles, it's a big victory, because the King of Glory is fighting for you. If you're in a battle right now, whatever that battle is, just call on more glory. Lord, I want more glory. Glory into this battle. Let your glory rule and reign inside this battle, and things will shift for you. You'll be so amazed at how God comes through for you. He is the King of Glory. Provision is found in the glory. We'll look more at that next time. But your God meets all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And things can materialize. We've seen, you know, miracles in the area of, like, even bank accounts being filled up. Supernaturally filled up. People's money in their wallets appearing. I've had lately, for 2 weeks now, I've had money appear in my wallet that I did not put in there. And I knew what was in there, and I thought, what is going on here? And every time I've looked in my wallet, I've had to empty it out twice already in this last 2 weeks. I've had to empty it out twice because there was too much. And I thought, where did this come from? And I roll it up and put it in the drawer. And then, you know, in a day or so, there it is again. What is this, you know? And it just keeps, I don't know. I don't know if an angel's putting it in there, or people with flesh on that are acting like angels putting it there. I have no idea. All I know is that it's nice. I like it. It's wonderful. But we have seen so many provisional miracles and bank accounts filling up. Have you ever done that? You have in your mind what's in your bank account, and you go to look in it, and there's over double there or something, and think, just hold it. How did this happen? And we've had situations where we've checked it out, and we can't make heads or tails of it. We've had our accountant up in Canada. It was happening so often. She just kept shaking her head and saying, I honestly don't know. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know. In my books, it doesn't show, but it's in the account. Phone the bank. Yes, it's in the account. I don't know where it's come from, but I'm just going to rejoice. Glory. The glory transforms us. When you live under the open heaven and the glory becomes part of your life, and you just love his glory and you love his presence, you'll be transformed from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another, into his image, into his likeness. You'll be transformed. You know, we try so hard in our own strength under religious pressure and legalistic pressure. Oh, I got to fix myself up. Oh, I got to make it happen. Oh, I got to make myself more like Christ. Just chill out and just hang out in the glory. And when you hang out in the glory and you realize, oh God, you are so good. You are such a love God. You are so amazing. Whoa, you are so wonderful. And I love your presence. And I love your angels. And I love your blessings and your goodness and your kindness. And you just soak in the glory of his goodness. You get transformed. You can feel it happening sometimes. You think, wow, I'm a lot more loving than I used to be. Wow. I used to have an anger problem, and now I don't get angry anymore. Where did that happen? It's just from hanging out in the glory. I used to gossip, and now I just want to say everything good about people. I just look at everyone, I say, oh, you're so beautiful. You know, when did that happen? I used to be the biggest gossiper and negative talker. When did that happen? It's just hanging out in the glory. You can't help it. And if you hang out with a glory company, oh, you know, it's like, woo. Oh, it's wonderful. Just hang out in the glory for a few moments right now. Oh, and just meditate on his goodness, on his loveliness, of how much he loves you. Oh, of how perfect you are in his sight. Oh, of how awesome he is in all of his ways. Wow, Lord, you are so amazing. We behold your glory, all the blessings of the open heaven, the blessings of your love, your eternal commitment towards us, all the things that we can think of as part of your glory. Oh, God, you're amazing. Now, can you feel the peace of God come and the love of God come and fill you? I mean, we only did that for 15 seconds. And it's like, I feel like floating off already. Whoa. I feel like just going around giving you all a big hug, you know? Yeah. Why? Because you're so beautiful. You're so beautiful. You're so wonderful. You know, and that's the way the glory works. It just changes you. If you get worried about something, you know, most of the things we worry about are things that are too big for us to do anything about anyways. Yeah. I mean, if we could do something about it, we would definitely try, right? Yeah. So we usually start to worry when we think we can't do anything about it anyways. So instead of worrying, just, oh, well. Can't do anything anyways. Just get into the glory. Thank you, Lord. You take care of it, Lord. This is too big for me. This is way too big for me. Oh, this is big, big, big. It's your size, Lord. And before you know it, it's all lifted off. You think, wow, I can go on and have a good time today because my God's got everything under his control. This last year, I've had the most wonderful opportunities to say, God, this is too big for me. This is way too big for me. It's your size. This is for you, you know? And it's like, oh, it's so wonderful. You just come into peace. You know, it's just, you get transformed by being in the glory. Wow. When you're under an open heaven and experiencing the glory, you get increased visions, increased revelation. You know what I've been teaching you as to how to, by faith, just receive things by faith, enter in and receive them by faith. Do you know what happens the more you exercise your faith like that? The more sovereign little surprises come into your life when you're not even looking for them. If you sow your hunger into knowing more about God and getting more revelation and walking in the realm, you know, and you're sowing into that with your faith, do you know that you start reaping when you're not even looking for it? Increased vision, increased revelation, increased dimensions of experience. Get more and more and more when you live under that open heaven. Angelic visitations, all the blessings of an open heaven. And visitations of the Holy Spirit. When you live under, whoa, the glory realm, when you live under the open heaven, you get, you know, tangible, you know, senses of his presence, an understanding that he is there. That's what happened when the heavens opened over Jesus. The Spirit descended upon him. The Spirit descended upon him. When the heavens opened in Acts chapter 2, what was poured out, or who was poured out? The Spirit was poured out. Amen? So how do we open portals? You know, portal is just it's an opening. Some people think it's a New Age term. It's actually an English term. And portals means like a doorway, a window, an opening. It means opening. So portals of glory means openings for the glory to pour into your life. That's okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds like a God thing to me.
Yeah.
Well, let's learn how to open them. First of all, it's through obedience to the Lord. He has obeyed all the commandments, so when we enter into his life and move into that obedience that he's already accomplished, that's a way that portals can open through that obedience. Through repentance, like Jesus, when he repented for us, the work's already been done, which gives us the grace to do it. But if you are convicted by the Spirit about something and you go before him with a humble heart and a contrite spirit and you say, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry." And I step into the fullness of the repentance of what Jesus did for me, and I cry out to you, and I cry out to you to forgive me. I repent. I turn from this. The heavens open. Have you experienced that? Let me give you a little key. A lot of times when we're feeling convicted, we tend to hold on to guilt, shame, condemnation. And in that, we strive because we feel so bad. We say, "Oh God, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." Have you ever done that for half an hour and then still didn't feel forgiven? That's not how you open a portal. Let me share with you how you open. I know this doesn't make sense, because when you're feeling so convicted and so bad, this doesn't make sense. But this is what you do. You say, "Oh Jesus, I am convicted to the core, and I want to thank you, Jesus, that you took care of this for me. And you repented for this 2,000 years ago. And I come into agreement with you. And I align my heart and my mind with yours and with your work of repentance, that you took care of this in the waters of baptism. And I enter into agreement with you and what you've done, and I repent. And I also receive now the forgiveness. Yes, Lord, because you said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And I receive that. I receive that forgiveness now." And then it's all about him again, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you're feeling like you're striving and can't break through, usually it's because it's still all about you. But as soon as it becomes all about him, that's when the glory comes. Because he is the glory. We can't take credit for anything. Do you understand that without him, we are the biggest losers? We are the biggest, like, without him, we have no hope. Without him. But the thing is, he gave himself to us. He did everything. And we hang out striving and striving. There's people probably in this room even that are still feeling condemned and guilty for something that happened 50 years ago. And you've been trying and trying and trying and trying to get rid of it. Oh, if only I just repent another 5 hours. Oh, if I just fast and pray, and maybe I can get forgiven. And you try and try and try within your life. It's all about you. You'll never feel it. You'll never experience it. It's still all about you. Just throw it up in the air saying, "Jesus, you did it. You repented for me. And you forgave me. And you took the sin. And you bore the punishment. And you've called me free. Free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I am free indeed. It's all about you. And all I can do now is worship you for your goodness. You are so good. I worship you because this is the gospel. It's the good news. You did it. You did it. You did it. The glory will come. The glory will come because it's not about you anymore. We just don't deserve it, do we? It's the good news. This is not the bad news. This is the good news of the kingdom of God. We have this gospel. We have so much to preach to people. We have so much good news to preach. And it's all about him. That's why when people say, "Well, how do you know it's about Jesus? I don't know about this Jesus." You know, it's like there's lots of gods. There's lots of gods out there. There are, you know, all ways lead to God. And I thought, you haven't heard the good news yet. You haven't You haven't understood yet how to get free from the trap of your own condemnation. None of these other gods, none of these other ways will lead you anywhere but into more condemnation, which makes you try to do more stuff to try to get free. And at the end of that, you get more condemnation, which leads you to more stuff to try to get free, which leads you to more pressure and more condemnation to try to do more. And at the end of your life, when you've done it all and there's nothing left to do, there's a verdict over you that says condemned. Phew, what a way to live. Why would anybody want to go serve a God like that? When we have Jesus who did it all for us, who can stamp our heart right now with free indeed. Saved for all eternity, loved with an everlasting love. I did it, I did it, I did it for you, he says. Woo-hoo-hoo, this is good news. Oh, this is good news. Oh, this is such good news. Why would anyone want anything else? The reason why the whole world isn't worshiping Jesus yet is because we haven't preached the gospel good enough yet. I wonder if we preach much of the gospel at all. How can you resist them? We're all self-condemned. Every single person is self-condemned. Inside there, I know, because I used to nurse people oftentimes on their deathbeds, on their last. They could have said, I'm an atheist, I'm an atheist, I'm an atheist. But in those final hours, they're no longer an atheist. They're saying, oh God, help me, help me, help me. It's in there. It's in all of them. They know that they know that they know that they have no hope outside of Christ. But the moment you take their hand and gently say, you know, God loves you with an everlasting love. And he's made a way through his son, Jesus Christ, who has taken all your guilt, all your shame, all your sin, all the bad stuff, and just drew it all into himself. And he's got a garment of righteousness here for you right now that you can have for free. You can be God's own son right now. You can be his own daughter right now if you simply believe. Tears going. And you say, would you like him? Yes. Yes. Just say, Jesus, forgive me, my sin. Forgive me. Forgive me. Thank you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. And you can see life enter them. And they take their last breath. It's a big celebration in the room. You know they've gone to glory. Those are the stories of the atheists. I've led people to the Lord on their deathbeds. They're Muslims, Hindus, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, atheists, communists. But I'll tell you, they know in their knower that they have no hope outside of Christ. They don't call on Buddha in their last hour. They don't call on the name of a Hindu demon. They don't call on anyone, but oh God, help me. And when they hear the gospel, it's music to their ears, even if they denied him the rest of their life, all the rest of their lives, if they had have denied him at that moment, they know all of that knowing on the inside finally surfaces. Oh, this gospel we serve is, there's nothing like this glorious gospel. Where are we? Okay, opening the portals of glory through repentance, through worship and praise. You know, if you've got praise on the inside of you, Joshua Mills preached this amazing message a few years ago. I still have the CD, the original CD of it. Praise changes the atmosphere, you know, and I tell you, it was the most amazing CD. I listened to the whole thing. The style of it was not what I was used to back then. And so it was a little bit different when I first put it on, and it was like, it was different, and I thought, oh wow, this is interesting. But he kept saying, praise changes the atmosphere. I tell you, that got so heavy on my spirit. I was for over an hour listening to that thing. Praise changes the atmosphere. praise changes the atmosphere. And it was like the glory came into the trailer. So I listened to it again and again and again. Oh, it was so glorious. And that's where I really learned the power of praise in my experience. That's where I really, really learned it through that. I thought, this is like amazing. I was so full of this presence. I thought, oh, this is such a key for the glory. Praise, no matter what you're going through. It was around that time I was going through a little something that, you know, I had a lot of pressure inside of it. And, you know, how you get inside your head and you're wondering, how am I going to figure it out? I thought, I'm not going to even think about that anymore right now. I'm just going to go, praise changes the atmosphere. Praise changes the atmosphere. And the whole thing looked after itself. Because you open the heaven. Wow. Don't forget that God administrates the whole universe. And he doesn't stress out over it. He just releases grace. You might have a lot to care about, you know, a lot of responsibility. Nothing compared to his. Just get the heaven open and let his grace for administration come on what you need to do. And you can go out and praise changes the atmosphere. My God's looking after everything. I'm the most responsible person on the face of the earth. I just worship him and he takes care of everything. Whoa. Prayer. Of course, prayer opens the heavens. Mm. Wow. And second, whoa, Chronicle 7. Oh, it talks about God opening the heavens if we'll posture ourselves in prayer. If we will humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and he will heal the land. And the verse before that says, you know, if I need to bring judgment and close up the heavens, if you do this, I'll open them back up. Yeah. What a good God. Faith, of course. Faith, believing in the promises, believing that you've been granted an open heaven. Tithes and offerings. Out of Malachi, it says, test me now in this. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you. In our ministry, all of our team has to be tithers to the Lord. I'm a believer, and I don't know how you believe in personally. I don't really care on this point. I didn't mean for it to come like out like that. We'll probably go into this in another thing, but you know, like some people say, well, the tithe belongs to the local church and the tithe belongs here. I don't really care what you believe about that. You can put it wherever you want, but as long as you believe that the tithe belongs to him. Yes. It belongs to him. And you bring it into the storehouse, but don't think it belongs to a local church. If you bring it there, that's great. I just think that's awesome. But just don't forget that it belongs to him. So when you give it in the local church, if that's where you give your tithe, then make sure that you're giving it to him, because he's the one worthy of it. No institution or no human being is worthy of the first and the best. That belongs to him. People can steward it for him, but make sure when you give it, you're giving it to him. So we ask all of our team that they're tithers. Again, it doesn't matter to me where they bring their tithe, but I want the open heaven over the ministry. I want the open heaven over the ministry. That's why for our web church, we ask all of our web church members that they would be tithers, because we want the open heaven in the web church. They don't have to tithe, bring their tithe to the web church. That's not the point. It's just like we want them to be giving him the first and the best, because corporately, if we give him the honor of the first and the best, then his blessing, the windows of heaven open up on us corporately. And that's what we experience all the time. And I think that's partly why, is because of that corporate release, the tithes. I've known that in our personal life. I totally believe in tithes, not just a tithe, an offering, but tithes. I like giving the Lord lots of tithes. Here you can have 10% here. That's what tithe means, 10%. Have 10% here, have 10% here, have 10% there. I'll put another 10% for you over there. I love it. Tithes and offerings, because they open the windows of heaven. Because he's worthy. Something about honoring the Lord. It's wonderful. Okay. So that's how you can open the windows of heaven over your life. The last day's outpouring that we read about in Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come. Light, fire, flames, light, illumination that comes from fire. We talked about that in a previous lesson. His glory will arise upon believers and appear. The glory is going to appear upon you. Great darkness will cover the earth, but as this happens, the glory will increase upon the church. Where sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. There's going to be a widespread evangelism and harvest of nations. People in governmental authority will be saved. Many prodigals will return to the Lord. You can look all these scriptures up later. There will be great rejoicing among God's people. And there will be invention that will bring wealth. This is all in the Bible. How to receive the glory? Commit yourself to the Lord. When you commit yourself to him, you're committing yourself to the glory. Why would anyone want to lead a double standard life? Why would anyone want to have one foot in sin and one foot in the kingdom? Why would you even think of it when you can have complete devotion to the God of glory, blessing, honor, power, goodness? Wow. Why would I want to live half my life over here when I can have 100% fullness and goodness? Wow. Let alone he's worthy. Repent from any known or confessed sin and unconfessed sin. Believe. Believe for the glory. Believe for the glory presence. Believe for the open heaven in your life. Receive these things by faith. Lord, I've got the open heaven because you opened it. I put all my trust in you, Lord God. You opened the heaven, so I've got the open heaven. You are the glory and the lifter of my head, so I have the glory. Receive it. Soak in the glory. That's why some of our soaking CDs are so good. Like, what's the one about the open heavens, opening the portals of heaven, portals of glory. That is just powerful. You know, you just soak under it. You know, and there's lots of good soaking CDs that we have. Stay focused on the glory. Don't get distracted. Don't let a problem in life distract you. Just say, oh, just a minute, the glory's enough. And respond to God with a thankful heart. Hindrances to receiving the glory, the same as anything else. If you don't believe that the glory is going to visit you, the goodness of God is going to manifest in your life, then you are hindering the release of the glory with your unbelief. Lack of understanding on the covenant and new creation realities. Fear of the unknown. Fear of not receiving. Jealousy and competition. Critical or judgmental attitudes. Unconfessed sin. Lack of consecration to God. And striving. All those things will keep you from the glory. You cannot be separated from the glory if you just, out of rest, believe in him. Amen? Amen. Lord, I'm asking for increased manifestations of your glory, of your goodness, of your power, of your heavenly dimensions and visitation to come upon your people, because they're hungry for all that you have for them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information about Patricia King and XP Media, visit us online at xpmedia.com. We look forward to building relationship with you. xpmedia.com.